Good evening. When I was trying to prepare my thoughts last night, a lot of topics came to mind. I have my oldest about to head to college and dropping him off at Frieda Hardeman on Saturday. So I said, well, maybe I should do something profound, give him words of wisdom from a father. But then I realized I'd be up here bawling and blabbering. So we're going to go with something a little easier for me. We're going to talk about elevators. We're going to look at some spiritual lessons from elevators, and this all came from a factoid I learned about elevators, and it just made me start thinking about elevators. So, number one, elevators. This is very applicable to our college kids, by the way, especially those that are going away, those that are going through a transition in life. So pay attention. This is important. Elevators are like friends. Either they're taking you up or taking you down. Sometimes an elevator, you know that it has buttons. If you let the wrong friend on, they may push the down button and you need to go up. So remember that. Elevators are like friends. Proverbs 12 verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companions of fools will be destroyed. You ever been on an elevator and the door opens and one of the questions the person on the outside sometimes will ask is, are you going up? You ever heard that? Sometimes you get asked that. Are you going up? Are you going down? When you're meeting these new people, Cameron, I'm going to start crying now. When you meet these new people, make sure to pay attention to, are they going up or are they going down? Choose your friends wisely. Make sure you evaluate that friend and make sure he's going up. That's the direction you're going, and we want to keep going that way. Next, elevators have phones, Cameron. Now, I've never used an elevator phone. Anybody here use? I've never used one. They're for emergencies. We have an elevator in my building. It's only a two-story building, but it's got a phone in it. And it's an emergency phone, so I hope nobody's ever used it. But I want to tell you something, especially the college kids going away, but it's applicable for everybody. Prayer. Prayer needs to be, you need to have your hand on that phone all the time. Don't just reach for it in emergencies. I've been teaching the high school class, you know, and I tell them, I've said this three or four times, it says prayer should be our steering wheel, not our spare tire, that we only reach for in moments of emergency. Make prayer a habitual, positive thing. Make it important in your life. Make it a priority. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James 5:16. Pray without ceasing, 2 Thessalonians 5:17. Next, elevators used to have elevator operators. I've never been in an elevator. But way back when, they used to be unreliable, clunky, unsafe, hard to manage. They weren't automated like they are now. So they needed a person trained to operate them. They had to operate the speed, and it was very difficult. Well, Cameron, like our early elevators, our lives as Christians need an operator. When you became a Christian, you basically asked Jesus to take over. When you entered that elevator, he's the one controlling the speed. He's controlling the which floors you get off on. Listen to him. It's very important. Surrender your control. I know you're going to want to stop and push buttons. Maybe you don't need to be pushing. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we all know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Let Jesus be your guide. If he wants to get you off at a floor, get off. If he wants you to stay on, stay on. Next, here's a bit of a trivia. I looked this up last night. The longest elevator in the world right now is about a mile and a half long. It goes straight down in South Africa to gold mines. Huh. Pretty interesting. But I didn't know this until last week. Japan has a plan to make an elevator to the space station. For real. By 2050, they're wanting to make an elevator tethered at the equator all the way up to the space station. 60,000 miles of cable. And they're pushing forward. They've actually tested this at the space station last year. It would take 8 days for a man and supplies to go up this elevator. Wow. So how can I make a spiritual application out of that, Cameron? I did this. I said, aim high. Okay? Aim high. You know, you're going off to college. I'm speaking to all of our kids that are going through transitions. Aim high. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. With God, everything's possible. You know these things. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Have lofty goals. And I'm not talking about worldly goals. Have lofty spiritual goals. I asked somebody this past week, I said, he was dealing with problems with anger. And he says, yeah, I'm just so angry at people. And I said, well, what's your goal? What's your goal? He says, to not be angry. To not care when people make me mad. And I sat there and I said, is that your goal? Cameron, I want your goal to be higher than that. I want you to understand that Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Set your goals higher than the world sets them. Push on. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Whatever your goals are, aim high. Have your goals be God's goals. Next, enjoy the ride. Do you remember Buddy the Elf? He had fun on the escalator, remember? But he also had fun on the elevator, pushing all the buttons. This journey that you're going on, it's going to be a blast. Enjoy it. Have fun. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know for all of these, God will bring you into judgment. Remember this, John 10:10, that Jesus came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Psalm 118:24, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Enjoy the ride. It's a blessing. Next, keep going upward. Don't stall. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember that. Grow. Like Paul in Philippians 3, press to the goal of the upward calling of Christ. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Next, you know how there's sometimes awkward silence on elevators? It's kind of a cultural norm for us to just be quiet, right, and just stand there, all facing the same direction like robots, and no one speak to each other until the doors open. I think that's odd. I guess that's appropriate elevator etiquette. But I want you to realize that Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. If you have an opportunity, speak up. You're a Christian. Sometimes you need to speak up. Get outside your comfort box. Speak to people. They may need your light. They may need to see your example. I thought of this when I was reading in Book of Acts 17. Paul was trying to escape from those that were persecuting him from Thessalonica. And Silas and Timothy took him to Athens. And in verse 16, it says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, so he's waiting, because he's commanded Paul, Timothy, and Silas to come to him. So he's waiting on them to come to Athens. So it says, while he waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. He didn't just settle for waiting and silence. He said, I care about souls. I'm going to find where the souls are. And he went. and he opened his mouth and he shared the gospel. And of course, if you keep reading in that chapter, Dionysius and Damaris were saved because he spoke up. And finally, a little history lesson. This is what triggered this idea for a Devo. I learned about a man named Elisha Otis. I've been in an elevator. I remember on the floor it says Otis Elevators. Have you guys ever heard of Otis Elevators? It's one of the major elevator companies. I'm like, well, who is Elisha Otis? Before 1953, the world's skylines, like New York City, whatever skyline you're looking at, was dominated by bell towers and steeples. That was the tallest thing in the skyline. There weren't any buildings over two or three stories. Why? Elevators. There weren't any trustworthy elevators. Even though the elevator had been invented way back before Christ, 250 years before Christ. But no one wanted to be on an elevator because the cables would break. And they would crash and hurt people. So enter Elisha Otis. P.T. Barnum was at the World's Fair and the attendance was going down. And he says, I've got to create a spectacle to get some crowds coming in. So he found an inventor, Elisha Otis, and he says, I hear you got a little invention. You want to let's make something dramatic so people will come watch you. So Elisha Otis used his invention, got up four stories above the World's Fair there in New York City, and somebody cut the cord. There's thousands of people watching. The elevator drops, and about six, maybe a foot lower, it stopped. He had invented elevator brakes that would stop if the cord got cut. That changed the world. Then all of a sudden, everyone wanted elevators in their building. The building started to get tall. And, of course, the skylines of the world have changed. Cameron and college kids, don't forget what Jesus did. John 12, 32 and 33 says, And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ compels us. When Elisha Otis did that spectacular thing, it changed the skylines of the world. But when Jesus did his spectacular thing on the cross, it changed everything. Don't take it for granted. Let that constantly motivate you to act, to be bold and daring like Elisha Otis did. The church needs our young people. It needs them to be like Elisha Otis, that's willing to go out and do the daring things and be different and be bold. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. So in conclusion, we all want the success of our kids that are going through transitions, and certainly we have a large group that are going off to college soon, either locally or away. Encourage them, pray for them. As I conclude, I was thinking, how could I conclude with an elevator analogy? Well, I thought of Steve Riley. He sometimes will say, if you want to become a Christian, if the elevator represents our Christian life going up to heaven, Steve would say, you need to get on at the getting on point. I think he said that a few times, and I like that. You need to get on at the getting on point. How do you get on at the getting on point? We know this. And I growing up in the church, you know, we talk a lot about baptism. And I think it's because the world around us is confused. If I have a patient and I told him, you have to have surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy to be cured of your cancer. You have to do that. And they did surgery and radiation, but they left off the chemotherapy. Well, guess what I would be talking about every time they came in? Chemotherapy. Well, that feels like that's what the state we're in the world sometimes. We have to talk about baptism because the world's got it confused. Baptism is when you get into Christ. That's when you have your sins washed away. Acts 22:16, Acts 2:38. That's when you become a Christian. Galatians 3:27. Romans 6:3-4, 1 Corinthians 12:13. If you're not a Christian, please consider right now. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Hebrews 3:18-19, that we were looking back on Israel and wondering why they didn't get to go into Canaan, the first generation. And it says they could not enter because of unbelief. You can't enter Christianity without unbelief. It starts with faith. Faith comes through hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. You have to confess, Matthew 10:32. You have to repent, Luke 13:3-5. And you have to be baptized. So please understand the gospel call. If you have questions, there's dozens of people here that would love to study with you. If you have any needs, if you have a spiritual need that you want to make known to the congregation here, maybe you want some prayers of the congregation, we will pray for you right now if you'll come forward as we stand and sing.